April 30th, no less. All right. Thank you, Scott. Good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. It's approximately 10 o'clock on April 30th, 2013. We're meeting in the 12th floor of the Capitol, the regular commission room, for a work session, which we should close by 10:50 today because the three commissioners have somewhere else to be. So if we need to schedule another one, I just put that out as a parameter up front. It's for case number GE13-193. I have a few questions and comments, but I'll hold off and maybe let Commissioner Fedorchak go next, then we'll turn it over to Randy and see what he's got, since he called this special meeting.
Yeah, I have no opening comments.
All right. Commissioner, you requested a meeting. Let's hear what's on your mind, sir.
I did, Mr. Chairman, and count on Sue Richter to provide most of the information, but just the premise for the meeting is that we did receive a claim for unpaid grain regarding Earth Harvest Mills and Harvey. And so it was important, I think, based on the motion that we had passed earlier, that we have a meeting and discuss this. So I'll count on Sue to give us the details.
All right. Thank you, Randy. All right, Sue, give us the update, if you will.
All right. Well, the claim that we received was for $25,949.
Okay.
And we have prepared the paperwork, and I have been in conversations with Grayson at Earth Harvest Mills. He has submitted a request to delete the bins that he has licensed and to move his license over to some physically disconnected grain bins.
Slow down for a second, Sue. Can you connect the dots for me here, how this ties into the request we received? I'm missing that. Why would he even ask that?
Well, because his license is tied to facilities.
Okay.
And he has asked to delete those facilities, indicating that his intentions are to lease the milling portion of the facility to customers.
I'm getting at is we got a potential insolvency, and his first response is that to change the way he's doing business, not to deal with the insolvency.
Well, I don't think that was his first response. I think those are two different comments. They're not necessarily related.
He mentioned changing his business after the cease and desist hearing that we had earlier this month.
Sorry, I meant to come get you.
Okay, but if you could I don't know how Randy and Julie want to do it, but I'm better at handling information to walk me through the first thing we got to deal with.
Okay.
And then we'll go with ancillary things. That's why I was confused, because I thought, is this related to this? And I wasn't drawing the connection there.
And Mr. Chairman, to go to the very beginning, and maybe I should have pointed this out, as part of a motion that we did in March already, I mean, it was a long motion that had to do with the cease and desist order primarily. But near the end of it, that motion stated that if the commission receives a written claim for unpaid grain delivered to Earth Harvest Mills, that we would direct the staff to immediately prepare an application for appointment as trustee, including a declaration of insolvency.
There we go.
And so I think that is... I guess what we need to follow up on and proceed with, unless there's some reason not to.
Okay, well, that's what I just wanted to walk through, is that I remember being part of that, and I guess I'm trying to get a handle on. We've got all these things going on up there, but the shark closest to the canoe is we've got an insolvency, or not an insolvency, what's the word I want to use here?
We have a written reclaim, and
claim.
We have prepared the application for appointment as trustee.
Okay.
So what was the date of that $25,000 claim?
It came in on Friday, April 26th.
Okay.
So I guess the way I see this is that there's really not a lot of flexibility here. We've got a previous order. We've got a claim that's in there. I mean, is there a lot of decisions at this point other than we just have to follow through with the procedure of what we do now? I mean, we can't ignore this.
We can't ignore it.
Or do I want to?
I
think this is the direction to go. You know, this is what staff would recommend, that the commission follow through what was in the motion on March 27th. And staff has drafted the paperwork, and we are ready to.
But, I mean, there's not another alternative that even begins. If you have someone that has a claim, you process it.
Right. The normal thing that we do, though, okay, which we have already done in the past for Earth Harvest Mills, the normal thing that we do if a claim came in on elevator something else today, elevator XYZ today, Sue would be calling up the manager of elevator XYZ and saying, we got this claim.
Absolutely.
And the guy might say, oh, that check shouldn't have bounced. I'll get on it. And he gets paid and it goes away. That does happen. So, yes, it's not like we're, you know, letting an insolvent elevator go, but we do make that call. And we have done that on previous claims that have come in on Earth Harvest Mills.
And so that when
this is different because we've done it before.
When you confronted him on this, what was his answer to this?
When I called him, I just told him that the claim was received. We were preparing the paperwork, and we had scheduled a work session for this morning at 10. And then a commission meeting at 12.
But he didn't offer any information as to.
Oh, that should have been paid. No,
we didn't say anything. I did ask if he had anything to offer regarding, you know, any kind of an update regarding this infusion of cash that he's looking at, and he said that they are still moving forward on it, and I guess if they do and they're successful, I guess there are other avenues. I'm hypothetical.
Okay, so how does this play out that as Randy pointed out, I mean, this was our trigger from before that we said. Mm-hmm. But how does this play out now once we go to the insolvency? Then if his business model changes, how does that affect the insolvency? Once you go down this road, is there any coming turning back?
Well, to begin with, once we file our application in court, he could make an objection to the court.
Okay.
That he's not insolvent for whatever the reason be.
So he does have his opportunity if his
his
master plan comes through. That's his choice.
Yes.
There's his chance.
He would have to say that there is some reason not to declare insolvency and not to appoint as trustee.
Okay.
And that declaration of insolvency is defined in statute as refuse, neglects, or unable to pay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He might say that's legitimate, but now I have money that's right in my hand, so don't appoint him trustee. Like, there was an insolvency, but now I can quickly fix it. Let me keep something like that. I mean, it's conceivable, but he gets notice and an opportunity for a hearing. Okay, we send it also to the bonding company and the claimants as kind of a courtesy.
The claimants
not
you talk
required.
About, we know of these because of our previous work with him.
Yes.
But normally we maybe wouldn't know all of those.
Right.
Yes.
So you'll notify these people that we have.
We'll notify these people, and then we have one other company that has signed a credit sale contract back in 2010, and he has been making payments. They will be notified also. And
well,
then we
how does the general public know this?
Because
it goes in the newspaper.
After we're appointed. But right now, ahead of time, we're doing courtesy notices to people. We're just saying, hi, we just sent this to court. And then if they have any interest, they can get involved earlier. But once appointed, we have to publish twice, and we send it again. We send it out and say, hi, we've been appointed. Here's the whole thing again.
And then give them we've been appointed, and this is your notice to file a claim with
us. And sometimes we send reminder letters.
We always do.
Yeah.
One reminder letter.
Yeah, if we have their name. So we're going to look for people that aren't on this list, and then we're also going to kind of do a lot to tell these people on the list what's happening.
Okay. Jules has got the master book out there. Do you have any?
Well, I mean, clearly he meets the definition of insolvency by law.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really very simple. He has on previous occasions in the past, as you've mentioned, and we've mm-hmm. gone back and tried very hard to work with him to get this turned around and give him time to make some money to pay off these customers who he owes money to get more financing, whatever, you know, he has, whatever we could do. It's been going on for 2 years. So I think we're at the point now, we've even in the last couple of months spelled out some, you know, very specific things, terms on which we would consider extra means, and he hasn't been able to meet any of those. So I don't know that we have a lot of choice right now.
Okay. Fair enough.
If this is the direction that the commission takes, what's the insolvency date? Is it the day of the meeting and we make the vote, or is it the 26th when the claim came in, or what?
Historically, we ask for the insolvency date to be established as the date that we receive a claim.
The first claim, which would be this claim, because the other ones we've said didn't count, they were withdrawn, would be this. That's why I asked, Friday, the 26th of April.
I think it comes down to these people have been waiting a long time to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
This fellow, Delbert mm-hmm. Cousins, mm-hmm. he's been waiting since over a year for $26,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have to assume that, you know, these people can't just sit around for forever. They probably aren't independently wealthy and can stand to not have $26,000 they're owed. So by going into, unless Grayson was able to fix this on his own, which he hasn't been able to pull it together, appreciate his efforts, but it just hasn't all pulled together yet, we have to take this step, I think, to help these people get paid for their product. So
and
that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Agreed. And sadly, the ones that don't have contracts, a lot of them are going to go largely unpaid forever.
Yeah.
They'll get
well, the $50,000 spread so far. Yeah. Yep. None of them will probably get paid in full, but at least to the extent that we can, you know, get them something for what they've lost.
If he really would be able to come through on the financing, there's not any reason that he couldn't continue to go forward with making them whole.
That was my question. If he gets this master thing that he's been trying to do for 2 years, if that comes through, then he's got a chance in front of the judge to pay everybody and everything mm-hmm. is good.
Yes.
So it's not like we're changing anything other than we're proceeding with the process.
Mm-hmm.
And he can still do what he's promised.
Right.
Come out of this.
Yes. And I did ask him yesterday when I talked to him what the status of that was, and he said that it had taken, his bank had a process that they had to go through, and this is the first time they'd done it, so it took longer, but that it was finally going to the Rural Development or Economic for them, for their review to be looked at. So.
Okay, so I believe I... Randy and Julie, you would like a special meeting today at 12:30 to act on a motion that you prepared?
That would be my desire.
Okay.
And I did want to mention that I talked to Tim, and Tim ran over there this morning because he happened to be at Harvey to verify that there was no grain in any of the bins that he does currently have licensed with us.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of them are empty. There are, and a side note, there are.
They should be
grain.
Empty.
Yes.
Well, he's under a cease and desist.
That's what we would expect.
Just, okay.
But we have
but
to verify.
But we verified because that's part of our practice. We routinely do it.
What's the side note? What's off to the side over there?
They have a not like 18 freestanding bins that are not connected. And Rowland, he's leasing some of the bins to Rowland Seeds right now, who does have grain in two of those bins. So, which was, I mean,
and
that's fine.
They've
he can
never been under the license, right?
Those how can bins. He be operating under? So you can license a facility and then build some other bins right beside it, and just cheat the licensing process by putting all the grain in the unlicensed ones.
Well, he built the bins with the intentions of licensing and expanding his business. He never finished the conveyor that would connect the two together. So he's got this grouping of 18 bins that are. Off to the side of his facilities, and they are not, except for one bin, they are not, the rest of them are not licensed.
But he can't put grain that he's purchased under the license into those bins either.
He did back in 2010, and that's one of the things that he was in trouble
written
for
up
previously.
For.
What does he use them for, those other bins?
Well,
I mean,
pretty much set
I mean,
empty except when he's leased.
If we go
he's
and
leased
them
somebody
to else.
Somebody else to use? For their own storage?
Yes.
Oh.
And he can, because they're freestanding. Freestanding means you fill them with an auger through the top, and then you empty them by using an auger to draw the grain out from the bottom.
Okay.
And so he could lease those bins to every single one of those bins. Probably would have made some money if you'd done it.
Like a storage unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like your own. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
So the biggest claimant on this list has grain at this facility in unlicensed bins.
Yes.
Yes. I guess I don't personally see anything really wrong with that.
Well, I think he's probably not breaking the law, but the reality is there's a whole bunch of assets there. If somebody who's got a claim against him who has his own assets right there, it just the whole thing smells.
Well, but this biggest claimant has given, for lack of a, I don't want to use magic terms, delivered or stored or whatever, a lot of grain. I'm guessing a lot more than is in those bins. So that I don't have personally, and Sue can jump in here if I'm well wet, but I figure he's probably owed for grain that truly did come into the licensed facility.
And I think that, what we had understood when Grayson was in after we had a long discussion following the work session was that they, and I believe he has visited with his attorney about it. We suggested that he visit with the attorney, and I know that the attorney visiting that was here visiting with staff and Commissioner Chrisman, he was aware of the lease arrangement that they were talking about. And as long as it's being used privately and not publicly, the commission, it doesn't fall within the definition of what a public warehouse man is.
So he has a history of doing things outside the law with bin storage.
It's true, but his to be honest, his whole business up here is a perfect example of a business that fits real oddly under our grain warehouse laws.
Would there be receipts to track this
Rowland's?
Yeah, Rowland brings grain or delivers grain for storage or, sells it mm-hmm. to Earth Harvest Mills.
Mm-hmm. That's
doesn't get paid. Is there a way to track that grain then didn't just move over to these license or these lease areas, and so you can basically get double paid then? He still has this grain, but he has a credit sale contract over here that he could get money from the credit sale. Is there a way to track that grain? Do you follow what I'm saying?
The grain was delivered to the facility and a scale ticket was issued for it, and because of the timing, it would seem realistic that last grain that was received back in January has been processed by now, and we've seen some payments, so it would be realistic. If it was delivered in January and moved to the grain bin over there, I don't know if you could tell that way, but I would assume that when Rowland is bringing grain and putting it in these unlicensed bins, they must be putting it on a weight ticket so that they know what Rowland is putting into those grain bins.
I mean, that's part of the licensing process, that you would not only prove what's in your licensed facility, but prove that your unlicensed stuff isn't supposed to be in your licensed facility, and we would look for all of that.
So we should be able to, there should
the
be a paper trail.
The Tims of the world.
There should figure that
there
out.
Should be.
There
should
that would be
there should
quite a scam.
Kind of be lack of a paper trail.
Yeah.
Okay, there should be like a weight ticket, which is different than a scale ticket that Earth Harvest Mills would have given to Rowland. Just all it does is it shows the inventory kind of, grain in, grain out without any.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the point Julie's talking about, I think there's already a discrepancy with what the one company thinks they're owed to what he thinks they're owed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that I guess we'll all. How do we put all this together now? Just make sure we're all three here in the same sheet of music. We had a request to do toll milling. I think that request is now a moot point. Right? I just wanted to make sure I confirm that with my. I mean, there's no way we're going to let him do toll
through money. Through licensed receipt of grain, that's correct. One of the options was to not license
And we never got to a work session on that.
Talked about it. We left it with him to come back with a proposal to say, here's what I'd like to do. Here's how we think we can make it work. Right. That's what we decided the last time. And we didn't hear back from him on that. That was our last effort to get him away to make money.
So, but that now is, that's kind of off the table. He can't come back now with a plan of toll milling.
He can come back anytime with that plan.
Okay.
But it's not going to change
the
insolvency filing. It might somehow change the insolvency being finished if he.
We put the ball in his court and he did not follow through.
And the tolling of grain, I mean, now that we've received a claim, I can't imagine ever. I mean, aside from the cease and desist being in place, the commission would never allow him to take any grain into the facility. However, the other side is he may be taking, some of the process that we don't have any jurisdiction over, semi-processed grain and tolling.
Which he could always do.
That's separate, though.
That's separate. If he leases the bins to Rowland and Rowland brings their seeds down and puts them in there and pays him something to mill it, then, or they have some kind of arrangement where the milling part is also leased to Rowland. I mean, it's his seeds, his mill, and his product going to Annie's or whatever. That, again, is not, might be creative, but not illegal.
But is there anything that I'm missing today as far as what we're doing that we have to tie up some loose ends on?
Well, there's one tiny loose end. You're not necessarily missing it, but I was missing it. I mean, we do have to have a little order on the cease and desist that we didn't have any evidence to lift it. And I kind of missed the last agenda. I'm going to do it on the next agenda. But it's, you had a notice and a hearing, and we had a work session where you said there's no evidence to change our mind on that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have a two-sentence thing that says that.
Well, is that something that should be added to our special meeting now?
No, I don't think so. I just talked to Pat Ward about that to see if he was thinking differently than me, just as for an advisor. He was our ALJ. And it's really unrelated. It's still...
But it's tied.
Tied, but it's simply we see no reason to lift the cease and desist. You just need to get it done so there's an appeal period running.
Yeah.
But if he appeals that, we'll deal with it.
That's fair.
Okay. So I was just going to put that on the next meeting, and I just wanted to bring it up.
The next meeting, next regular meeting.
Regular meeting. In fact, I might even put it on consent, depending on where you want it. It doesn't matter.
That'll be next Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
A week from tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah.
So the cease and desist, the toll milling, is there anything? I mean, I'm just walking this through because this is a lot of things out there.
There's the question of his license staying in existence, even though it's fairly useless. But it's not totally useless because it requires fire insurance and things like that. And then being revised down to by removing of the other bins. I mean, there's that question hanging out there, which is a licensing question.
What are those commission decision kind of questions or staff normal day-to-day stuff?
And normally staff day-to-day
stuff.
But given the heightened awareness of this one, I don't know if...
Yeah. I just want to make sure we talked about it so everybody's on the same page.
And we generally do ask for a discontinue business, and we usually ask for that further into the process because of the insurance, like you just said. I wouldn't ask for a request to discontinue business until we see what happens in district court.
Until we get appointed. Yeah.
Right. And once we know that that's going to happen, then we can ask him to file a discontinue business.
So in the meantime, we have the Sue reducing his capacity kind of a thing, which Sue does as a director.
Fair enough. Commissioner Crispin brought up, Randy, a point about a press release you said of this. In the past, we did press releases for things like this. When did that go out? We notified, you had an example that we talked about briefly before today.
Last March, there was one on Anderson Seed that were petitioning to be the trustee and to declare insolvency. And I'm just wondering if that's,
I don't remember doing that.
I don't either, but I mean, maybe Commissioner Clark and Scott did it.
And I think I barely remember that, but I mean, we had the same discussion. It's like, okay, we're going to let these people know you're going to call. We're like, well, we should let somebody else know too, so they put mm-hmm. that release together and we sent it. I don't think we got any follow-up on it from phone calls, but mm-hmm. we did something to alert the public that this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember the timing of that.
Well, and sometimes when they're on regular meetings, the press picks it up now from coming to
this
the
is
meeting.
One you saw.
But you saw a special one. I mean, we can certainly.
I don't recall what it was that I saw, if it was a press release or if it was the article.
Okay.
That one got a lot of press from the whole situation. There were meetings and things over that one. Same with Falkirk. It was in the news all the time.
Yeah. Okay. If you want to get the word out.
No hearing.
I guess is the question to me is this the time when we're just asking to be appointed the trustee, or is it when the court appoints us as the trustee?
No. I think so, because it's our action. Otherwise, it's somebody else's action. And I think it's the point is we believe that we're at the point in the process where there's an insolvency. That's a decision we've made. And
potentially a decision we make at 12:30.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I'm talking after that.
Yeah.
So I guess if we're going to do it, I would think now would be probably the right time. How long does the court usually take to act?
Well, we file our application on a 3.2 motion, which means they have to wait at least 14 plus 3 days for mailing. So
yeah.
17 days until they would. The ex parte order would be immediately.
If they notice it. In Falkirk, they didn't notice that. And we had a waiver to try to hurry it up, a waiver from the elevator, you know, to not have that period of time. And the court still. It still took like a month. They just kind of spaced it out.
I think they kept switching judges because of conflict. I think that is part of it. So
it's probably going to take about a month. I mean,
when's the last time a person can request to be a claimant in this type of deal?
Oh, it's 45 days after that last publication. After we have been appointed.
So that's pretty far out.
Yes.
Pretty far out. I mean, did the Falkirk date just pass
recently?
March 18th. Yeah, yes. See, so.
Oh, shoot, and that's been out there for a long time.
Takes a while, yeah.
What does the court provide? I mean, when they look at this, and is there additional information that comes out of their decision?
No, their decision will be this thingy at the back here. This last two pages is an order appointing trustee. Sometimes we ask to join the bonding company, not always. We kind of shied away from it because it complicated a couple cases too much in the beginning. So if we were asking, there'd be another line joining the bonding company. But basically, they simply say that we are appointed, that they've met the definition of insolvency, we're appointed, and the date is whatever, April 26th.
Okay. So that basically is they're agreeing and determining that there is a legitimate insolvency.
Yes. Right. Yes.
And they make either today or then.
They make that decision based on what the commission submits.
Yeah.
Well, and anybody who objects, but usually nobody objects. The only time we had a couple objections was when we tried to join the bonding company, and then the bonding company came in with fairly irrelevant type objections, but it took time and hearings and briefs and motions and before the bonding company said, oh, okay.
It took months.
Yeah. So that's why we quit doing that. But,
and in the history of insolvencies in front of the commission, we can only think of one instance where they're excluding a time when there was a bankruptcy that was involved. I can only think of one time where the commission asked to be appointed trustee and the elevator objected. And
who was that?
Lone Prairie Green.
Did they win?
Yep, the court didn't appoint as trustee, and they got the matter resolved, and there was no insolvency.
Good for them, if that could happen.
Okay. Just for Sue Lon and commissioners, my colleagues, Wendell Lund called me today. He's a claimant on here. He was very upset. So I sensed that the fact that we had somebody move this in, plus a phone call, that the level of frustration out there has been reached, that these guys are heading off, so... I suspect the word will get out quickly.
Do you want us to call him?
Yeah, I'll give you his sticky and have you call him back because he wants to know what he's got to do to get on and get signed up for this.
Okay.
So something has changed out there. I don't know exactly what that is, but it's maybe good.
Well, just tired of waiting.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah, it's spring.
Spending money on spring.
They're getting that's probably it. They're looking to buy diesel fuel and fertilizer and whatever else, and they need some money.
I hope they're not counting on this money.
Right. Maybe this one will slide right through fast.
Commissioner Fedorchuk, do you have anything else?
I don't.
Sir?
Let's be back at 12:30.
All right, 12:30 special. We'll close the work session on case number GE 13-193. Oh, I did not.